And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. We'll get some stuff done. Temperature will be here in the next segment. He's coming in. One of the reasons is he's really done a lot on vlogging, you know, and doing videos. And so he's up to speed on the current tech and what's available and how to do it and everything. And we got different goals. See, really, I never really focused on the video of it. It's a radio show. And I go, all right, fine, you know, we'll put a camera. Everybody wants to do it. Here we go. All right, fine, I'll let you. Yeah, plug in that. Yeah, put the camera over. Yeah, whatever. And it's more a radio show for me, so that we haven't spent a lot of time. It's cool to be able to put some pictures up and have the video up. And a lot of people prefer the video. I remember some of the guests, I mean, like Tone Vase, he goes, you have MP3? Hell, I've been watching your videos for you. I didn't even know you could. You mean I could have just took and put it in? Well, why didn't you tell me? I go, whatever. We'll get it all organized for doing more of the video. And I really am looking forward to, and we had everything ready, but I didn't want to do video that could be taken down because the stuff that I want to do would include movie clips. You know, it would be, you know, things like, little clips of this and some graphics of that and some fun. And no, you're not allowed. And I'm like, No, I'm just not even wasting the time because I know how much time we put in when we integrated Freedom's Phoenix into the social media in 09 and 10. When we were doing that, and then, you know, 3 months later it changed. We got to, like, you know, keep a staff just to do it, and they keep changing. They don't want you to do it. They're not making it easy for you to do it. You're kind of hacking into Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest. Blah, blah, blah. I go, no, hell no. So when we do, we still have all the accounts and so on. It's announced that, all right, as long as this party goes, but we're over here. And we created all this stuff over here, another one over here. Because I was really, because I knew it was going to come, and I get to say I told you so. I don't get any pleasure in saying I told you so. But a lot of people built careers on this, and then it's gone. Well, now we're kind of stable. You know, it never really took a big giant hit, you know, from all this social media stuff. And it continues to grow at a slow pace, you know, on, you know, just direct traffic. But then they start slowing that down. They go after, you know, DDoS attacks. Well, we kind of help with that. Then, you know, it's the emails, you know, it's spam. Or there's always some dial somewhere you have to get off. Well, Tim's, got some skills on this, and we're working on different, you know, programs and doing, you know, and Derek's in it. But Derek's busy. He's got a lot of his own projects and stuff. He's, you know, opens up like a little hackerspace thing in Maine, and I'm going, yeah, good, you can get help. You know, I got a job for all you coders. Come over here. We'll work it out. So what you find out is that what Derek's finding out, I find out, not a lot of people can do the things that you do, whatever it is that you're good at and you're in it to get somebody. If you had a clone, would you even have to teach the clone? So there is a lot of reliance on systems. That's where WordPress came in. But WordPress got hacked a lot. There was a lot of problems and back doors if everybody was on, and we just got, it's like having Windows. Why do you think all the viruses and everything were going after Windows? Sort of John McAfee made a big, there's a video I haven't got to see yet. It was John McAfee and Roger Ver going on about, you know, Bitcoin Cash and cryptos and so on. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Donna put it up. Are you putting that up now? the Roger Ver McAfee thing. She sent it to be put up, so it's going to be put up by Gina later. So I'm going, this has been a, there's so many, history may not repeat itself exactly, but it sure as hell rhymes. And it there's a lot of rhyming going on, and you can see the seeds that were planted, yeah, since forever ago. You know, it's called the Federal Reserve, I mean. And then different wars, different policies, different big giant grabs on our individual liberties, consolidating of whatever. When they did this savings and loan fiasco, I don't know what they call it, the savings and loan scandal, what really brought that on is in the Reagan administration, they came in for deregulation, but he made a mistake. He deregulated savings and loan and banking and so on, but they still guaranteed it with the FDIC. So you had the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation or whatever it was, and they go, we're going to go ahead and insure all this, but we're going to let them, the way it worked, we got all these regulations on, but you can't do this, you can't spend other people's money doing that, you can't risky that, you can't separate commercial from private or something, you know, whatever. And they go, and with all these regulations, just to make sure, we're also going to insure accounts up to $100,000. I think now it's $250,000 or so, whatever it is. And so what they do is they structure everybody's account. They'd have all these different accounts. Wealthy people come in, they have $100,000 accounts. Well, when it all went, it all got paid back, unless you were one of the, you know, didn't do that, and then you're just screwed. So then they increased it and did it again and kind of. But the point was, is when they opened it up for them to do all whatever the hell they wanted, they did. And what happened here in Arizona, Estrella is, it's Spanish for stars or sky or something like that. There was a lot. Estrella Mountains is southwest of Phoenix here and overlooks the valley, but it's a big mountain range, probably 30, 40 miles away. And it was where a lot of UFO sightings were. That's why the Native Americans, they have a lot of pictographs there and so on, that you want to get all UFO conspiracy on that. It's out at Estrella Mountains. Well, they built this big resort. It's kind of like, it's a planned community, you know, and they were wanting to sell them. And they were selling lots, and they were just selling anybody. You had a pulse, you could fog a mirror. Hell, I'm not sure you need to do that. You are approved. Well, they're the bank. They can prove whoever they want and have the loan guaranteed when it goes bad. So they were using other people's money. The bank went down. They got paid. You know, it's just, and so this whole big scandal came out. Well, who was kind of fronting for them? Well, that was the Keating Five. Charles Keating was the guy here doing this, and they had the Keating Five, which included Dennis DeConcini, which was a U.S. Senator Democrat here, John McCain, which at the time I think was Congress, and John Kyle, which was Congress at the time, later became Senator. Now Senator, got appointed by the governor. It's the same people. And they're all part of this scandal. I remember they had $5 bills, you know, queer is a $5, you know, something bill or something. I can't remember what the deal. It was because it was a gay community did it. It was a guy named Buck, you know, and he wanted on him because of, anyway. So they went after him. I was happened to be there when the Secret Service guy working for DeConcini, he was the one who goes, hey, you know, we'll get him for counterfeiting. They have to collect up all these bills because they were the same size. He knew it was obviously not counterfeit, but they're threatening him with death, dying, and destruction, and the Secret Service is going to get you. So this is Democrats going after people criticizing Democrats. Well, they weren't even, I think they were Democrats. They were going after just being for corrupt. So you see how these games are played. Well, these guys are like, you know, either dead or they're in office still, and Kyle comes back. Well, the savings and loan thing was just a dry run. I think it was like something, it was stupid at the time, $300 to $600 billion, you know, billions of dollars. And it was like, oh my God, the biggest financial scandal ever. Oh my goodness. And there was, I got long stories about all kinds of shenanigans that went on here in Arizona. That was just training. That was just getting ready. That was learning how to do it and make it legal and kind of we'll get away with it again. Then came, you know, the collapse of 2008 and 2009, and then they redid it again. And when it happens again, I guarantee you ain't getting frog marched. A whole bunch of people going, the bankers are going to get away with it again. And here it comes. I can feel it. How's your EBGBs now? Be right back. From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Actual information. This is all right. We'll do the savings and loan thing here real quick. I'll just read you kind of the gist of it, and you get the idea. The savings and loan crisis of the 80s and 90s, commonly dubbed the SNL crisis, was the failure of 1,043 out of 3,234 savings and loans associations in the United States from 86 to 95. That is like a third of the savings and loan just went away. The Federal Savings and Loan Insurance Corporation, FLIC, closed or otherwise resolved 296 institutions from 86 to 89, and the Resolution Trust Corporation, RTC, closed or otherwise resolved 747 institutions from 89 to 95. Let me tell you what the RTC was. The Resolution Trust Corporation took all these bad loans, and they sold them for pennies on the dollar, auctioned out, but they wouldn't do like individual homes or lots. They took the entire subdivision that was, $100 million, and they go, yeah, who's going to bid on a $100 million thing? And it kind of, yeah, and it went for $50 million, $30 million, $10 million, whatever. Golf courses, big church properties, subdivisions, all kinds of stuff. And that was fast and loose with the money. And when they did that, who do you think bought it? The people that sold it to begin with had the mortgage or the banks, or they got, and then they resold it again. They're going to do that. They did the same thing in the crisis this last time, and they're going to do it again. This is like it's repetitive. They learn from each time. And I go, yep, the savings and loan was just a dry run. Well, not super dry, a little wet, had some hundreds of billions, but when they did the TARP thing, they just directly just gave the money to the banks. I just go, and foreign banks and corporations and countries. What do you think's going to happen this time? I got the EBGBs, man. It's a coming. All right. Am I justified in having EBGBs here, Tim? What's up?
Good morning, everybody. Well, I did learn something from, from the savings and loan is, why would you only give them, 50 cents on the dollar, a penny on the dollar, when you can give them 100 cents on the dollar? And so that's what the Fed did, is they came in and bought all these crap toxic assets for 100 cents on the dollar. So they learned their lesson.
Oh,
why are we going to buy it for, a penny on the dollar? We can go buy it for 100 cents on the dollar.
Well, this is what they had to do. When they did the auction, the Resolution Trust Corporation kind of took all this stuff. And then they go, all right, we're going to see what we just get it all. We just put it up for sale to qualified buyers, if not you. Because if they did it individual here in Arizona, all these resorts, there'd be a lot of people. They would have gotten more money if they pieced it out to where individuals could bid on individual homes and or lots or whatever, and you get it down to something that you could work with as a family. No. It's got to go to another big guy to big guy screw you of the big guys. And I'm going, man, did they ever stop? So this time, what did they learn? They don't want to go through all that crap. Just give me the money. 100%. You know, they didn't take a shortcut, you know, take a haircut. They didn't take, you know, them have to buy it back and then try and sell it later or do it. None of that stuff. They said, man, just screw that crap. Just give us the money. And then where did those bank loans go? They went to the Federal Reserve or the federal something. It was over here and we got these toxic assets or something. And they just forgave them. It just went away. So sorry to bother you. Taxpayer did. Oh, while they took your house.
Who is the politician that when they asked him like where they came up with $800 billion, they're like, well, we just needed a really big number. I think that was the exact quote. Yeah. I forgot who said it.
Was it Geithner or something? Or was that
I
back
think it was a female. I think it was a female politician that said something. Maybe like a Maxine Waters or Nancy Pelosi, you know. The devil's in the details, but one of the interesting points from all that is I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a reporter, Mark Pittman, and I think he actually coincidentally enough died right after all this FOIA stuff came out, but he is the one who did like all the Freedom Information Act requests in the Federal Reserve and found out that if all this money is getting doled out, because you mentioned all these different foreign banks, I believe even like Gaddafi's bank got paid billions of dollars, and it was pretty much, you know, you go to all the richest people in the world and they're the ones who got all these billions of dollars, and a lot of it went to foreign corporations. And Mark Pittman found out that it was something like a $16 trillion secret bailout, and the $800 billion TARP was just a smokescreen, and they used the secret bailout to then pay back the other stuff. And it's just like, this stuff goes on and on and on so much, and it's like, you know, I've already like forgotten more than, you know, it's just crazy when you go back and like relive some of the stuff. And for my job right now, you know, talking to the average, you know, person out here, you know, your rank and file, you know, Republican out here, they, you know, every conversation pretty much starts off with, I mean, obviously not the Freedom's Phoenix type crowd and, you know, the anarcho-capitalist libertarian crowd obviously is exempt from this. But, you know, you have conversations with people about planning and it's like, well, hey, you know, things have never been better. And, you know, isn't this economy great? And you know, everybody, you know, just wants to, and it's like you got to unpack so many different lies. And it's almost like, you know, where to even start when you've got somebody that comes to you and talking about how great things are. It's just a, you know, whole lot to unravel and trying to think of like what rabbit hole to even go down. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to focus, you know, my target audience more towards, you know, libertarian crowd, because, you know, I don't have to explain, you know, I don't have to do like years of, you know, unpacking all the brainwashing they've gotten throughout all these decades.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Dispatch. I don't know if you were listening to the show at all on your way in, but, last night I just went and looked back 10 years ago. You know, October 3rd, what was the Dispatch? We had two dispatches, and it's just amazing. I look at this stuff, and I'm going, wow, this is, I don't know what caused me to do it, but man, here we go. And House girds for second try on financial rescue, which of course it did, and Shattuck, you know, supported it. And immediately, you know, bailout activism in Arizona today, you know, it's time to revolt. And we did a bunch of stuff. And we had, you know, national socialization of the economy isn't fascist when I do it, John S.S., you know, Shattuck. And it, S.S., you know, at the stormtrooper, well, the German SS, we kind of made that logo for him. And I told him I was going to do this. I go, you guys do this, man, I'm gonna make you pay. Well, we did. And then bailout fixes nothing. Banking system collapse approaches climax. This from a friend in Atlanta with strong banking connections, reliable word that Bank of America branch managers just received a letter or memo from the U.S. Fed instructing them to perhaps be ready for a one-week universal shutdown of the banking. This is when they do bank closings, when you don't, yeah, it's kind of your money, you just can't have it now.
No, it's a holiday. It's not a closing, it's a holiday. It's right. A bank holiday.
Bank holiday. We got a holiday.
As Gerald Celente would always say, it's like, it's a holiday. I'm not going to try to sing. But.
Well, you see the signs, you know, on the link that I have top now, you know, 10 years ago, and it just happened, this is the signs that we did for Shattuck. Just a yard full of these, man. We just pumping them out like we were doing Levolution signs. I mean, national socialization of the economy isn't fascist, .. when I do it, John S.S. Shaggy. So wow. It's just amazing that I just happened to go back, and this was right when all this was happening, right in the middle of it. And now, and I just got the eebie-jeebies, man. How you feeling? Is there something in the wind? Are you checking your six? Are you looking behind you? What's up?
Well, it was almost 10 years ago. It was almost the anniversary of the Bitcoin white paper. I think almost exactly. It was 10 years ago this month.
Yeah.
So you almost hit that on the
yeah,
nail, too.
Yeah. I don't think I heard about it at the time. But it was pretty soon after. Yeah, I think it was probably like that spring and summer when we started hearing about it. Okay. More temperature. We'll get him in on this stuff and see where we're at.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Stop me,
'cause I'm having a good time,
having a good time.
Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by
like Lady Godiva.
I'm gonna go, go, go. There's no stopping me.
Except I'll probably keep my clothes on. You know, this is... I just got a text from a listener, and it goes, prompted by your 10 years ago review, I looked at DTCC's website and their bios on their current executive officers. And I'm going to tell you DTCC is. We didn't know that before. One of their top four, Robert Druskin, was formerly chief financial officer at Lehman Brothers. So Lehman Brothers went over to the DTCC, and that's Deposit Trust Corporate something. These are the guys that I did an article in July of 08 before this hit, you know, before it really got, and I wrote, the article was called the Coming Greatest Depression or something like that. And there's a reference in, you know, one of the articles on that dispatch list that I put up. And it was the Greatest Depression. And what we had learned is that you don't really own stocks anymore. You don't like have it and you put it in your safe and you kind of trade. They had to, well, your broker kind of holds it for you, you know. And then it got to where, well, the New York Stock Exchange doesn't really issue them. They're kind of on your behalf in this safe thing that's run by this deposit trust guys. And they're the ones that really hold the paper. And it's called Seed and Co. C-E-D-E-N company or something. Seed and Co. I'm like, what the heck? Like you seed over something. I'm going, they're just like making fun of us. And I'm telling you, when this goes, it's national security of a crisis of whatever the hell, stroke dash pen executive order or something. It ain't yours. It's not, none of this is yours. It's not yours. You go to countries like France and so on, and they, and the pensions, that's ours now. We need it. Sucks to be you. So this is why a lot of guys are really hammering on either you have crypto or you have precious metals. I mean, if you have it, then it's yours. You control the keys, it's yours. So this is what Tim's doing. He's like, hey, I make it all yours. You working on the yours thing?
We're not working on it. We're doing it, and we've done it. So, I mean, if you want to have crypto inside your IRA, and right now, if you don't have an IRA, you don't have 401k, then this probably doesn't apply to you, and I'm not saying go out and create one because of this.
Oh, but yeah,
if you
your IRA, have, it's, and it's gone.
Yeah, but if you already have an IRA or 401k and you want to dabble a little bit in crypto, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, everyone goes and puts everything into crypto, obviously. But we have a method where you can hold on to your own private keys and have your money grow either tax-free in the case of a Roth or tax-deferred in the case of a traditional IRA or 401k. And if you own your own company or you're, you know, independent or you're self-employed, there's a lot of other stuff that we can do for you as well. Because we do realize that if you have, you know, if you own crypto through, you know, in the future through one of these exchanges or through, you know, some ETF in the future or one of the unit investment trusts that's out there right now, you don't actually control the private keys, and you know the government could come in and one day swoop, you know, it's ours now, and we've got a method around that. Because I was thinking to myself, well, if someone else was to approach me with this, the very first thing I'd wonder is who controls the private keys.
No, that was my first thing. If you don't control the private keys, you might as well just not. I mean, you know, because it's going to be, and it's gone.
Oh, and the CC and depository in the DTCC is Clearing Corporation. Oh,
okay.
I didn't know that. I looked it up. I'm not.
Well, there's another one. They called it, as these guys, and there's an equivalent in the European Central Bank, and then they kind of merging, and it was coming on them to unravel derivatives. Because we're talking hundreds of trillions or a zillion dollars, man, a gazillion, whatever the hell it is, quadrillion. I mean, there's a bunch of money out there.
Quadrillions.
Yeah, quadrillion, man. You know, we even had a sign, and it had the Gerber baby we had from It's Not My Debt, and it said, Mommy, what's a quadrillion dollars? And underneath it said the Lovolution logo, you know. And it's because I can feel it. This is coming. In 07, I was doing radio then. I was also doing real estate, and I was waiting for the commercial thing to drop. I'm going, hey, all libertarians, hey, move here and go and buy some businesses, and we got, and it's great in Arizona, and we get a good deal on that. And they kept them all. know, as the residential kind of went, and you know, a little bit, but like the shopping malls and the retail and the big developments of the buildings of the whatever, they just kind of held on to that. They go, we'll ride this one out. Well, shopping malls are freaking going out. They're going to become senior citizen homes, which might be a good idea. I mean, you know, you could have a cruise and never leave the land. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're on a big cruise ship or something. So this is happening now. And if I, and at the time I was screaming this, now I'm going, look, get out of the house. The strain, the call came from inside. It is, you'll get ready here. And then it hit. Yay.
And then I moved here after everything crashed.
And it, well, it, you've been on the way up. Well, here it comes again. And it happened in the savings and loan thing before that. It was the dot-com bubble that got a nice little hit. And then they did the, you know, just dropped interest rates all over the place to try and pump it back up. Then 9/11 happened, so that kind of covered them a little bit. They got to do whatever they want to print more money. And then savings and loan before that. And then it was the recession in the late 70s and the 80s. And it was, and it's all because of what? Went off the gold standard. They had the expenses of Vietnam. They went off the gold standard in the early 70s. Nixon closed the gold window for everybody to repatriate.
We're all their Keynesians dollar. Now, was the famous quote.
Yeah, we're all Keynesians now. Well, yeah, until you're not. So this is, I'm hoping I scare you because I'm scared. And if I'm not as vulnerable as all you. I mean, I have some debt and I got this and that and that. And I might, you know, break even, or, but I don't have big giant, and I spent my whole life of retirement over, and I got it in some paper. They might let me have it someday. You know, what I got is like I hold it. It's not a lot, but I hold it, you know. So I want to scare the crap out of you, because I tried to do this in 07. Then when it happened, I didn't, I tried. A lot of people did. You know, there were a lot of people who were very thankful. They sold their house. They bought silver. It jumped up all the crap. They bought the same house back for half and then had a bunch of money left over. Two or three guys did that. Jack Gregson and, God, I can't remember the other guy's name. You know, come to mind. And then he started writing for us as an economist. But he had a brother-in-law that was in the oil business in Texas, and he started, you know, saying some things he shouldn't, and the man started coming visiting. A little black SUV sitting outside. And we had Mike Duggar, which is a postal guy, would go by and take pictures. He was checking on him. He was on his route. He'd go and kind of, you know, look at the guy. And they knew that we were watching him. And they kind of backed off a little bit. And he stopped riding. Because his wife got scared. And should. You know, because there were some. This is all coming again. Oh, you don't think that would happen? What the hell you think's going on in social media and shutting down accounts? And you're not even able or allowed to bitch.
I'm not allowed to advertise about the crypto business that I have right now. They have all
what?
These, so I can even show you. I tried jumping through all these different hoops, and so I wanted to basically advertise, you know, the crypto self-direct, and then they said, you know, well, because
advertise where?
On Facebook. So I went to go jump through all their million hoops, and they said, well, you know, if you're licensed and if you comply with all the FinCEN, anti-money laundering, and if you comply with the Patriot Act, and I already mentioned if you've got the licenses and you got the credentials and you got, and they listed all these different things, and which basically check, check, check. We've got all the FinCEN, KYC, all the BS that you would expect that you have to have. And they just said, nope, sorry, you're in a, you should have read our policy because we don't allow this. Well, their policy says we don't allow promotion of ICOs and binary options. I'm like, and I, in the application said, I'm not doing ICOs and I'm not doing binary options. And they're like, well, you know, sorry, why don't you make an ad that complies with us? And here's a link. Well, the link they gave me is broken. It's a dead link that doesn't even go anywhere. So then I already knew where their other link was. I'm like, I have complied with every single one of these. And you get, you know, some like social justice warrior, you know, two sentence response of, we're sorry, this is an inconvenience to you. Why don't you try again? And it's like, well, try again where? I mean, it's not like there's anybody.
Oh, let me tell you
up.
The guy that's going to do it is your competitor.
Goldman Sachs. Or,
yeah, whoever, you know, it is. Yeah, that's one thing you were saying. Somebody just told you that DTCC is going into crypto or blockchain or something. What were you saying?
Well, I texted this to you, I believe, yesterday. So if you go to DTCC.com/blockchain, this is, they're good. I was surprised because I'm not an expert on this. I just heard it 2 days ago, but apparently they are trying to probably hijack this of, hey, you know, you'll do all the decentralization through us now instead of, you know,
yeah,
decentralization. Just like, you know, Brad Glaringhouse says that Ripple's decentralized, probably in the same way.
From the first letter of Captain Mark.
History is full of flowery documents claiming to limit the power of the crown, but these poetic social contracts have been impotent to prevent the predation. Limited government is a lie they use to keep us submissive. The crown cannot be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor its treaties, nor even its own rules. The essence of the crown is centralized violence, and I've had enough. That's why I raised my black banner. I am no revolutionary. My aim is not to reset the cycle of violence, but to break it. My aim is an evolved society, invisible to the crown. Not a new hierarchy, but decentralized networks with no central figure for the crown to target. If you want your servile life, keep it. But we will not submit to the crown's agenda. And when you are ready to stop being its beast of burden, ready for adventure and opportunity, join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, Tim found a goodie here. Ugh. We're talking about DTCC. See, you always go, oh, well, who's really in charge? Oh, well, it's really Wall Street. Oh, really? Well, who's in charge of Wall Street? Well, it's really this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. Well, it's a global, international, we rule you people or something. Well, DTCC is Deposit Trust. What was it?
Clearing Corporation.
Clearing Corporation, which kind of has this tentacle. There's always a mechanism. Once we found this out, this is 10 years ago. This is July of 08. I'm like, you know, somebody... Who is it? I think it was Jeff Greenspan. You know, he told me, he said, yeah, you need to look at it. You know, I went, holy crap. All right. Now, this is what DTCC says now. Click on the image to download. D as in dog, T as in Tom, C as in cat, C as in cat.com. DTCC.com/blockchain. And this is what it says. Click on an image to download the white paper, Embracing Disruption, Tapping the Potential of Distributed Ledgers to Improve the Post-Trade Landscape. Post-trade, what does that mean? It's gone or something? I mean, I don't know what they're talking about. Leveraging blockchain to improve the post-trade process. The frenzy around blockchain and distributed ledgers is unprecedented. It is a disruptive force on the verge of replacing legacy infrastructures, or will the technology produce only marginal impacts in the short term? As an industry-owned and governed financial market utility, well, that, you know, that scares the crap out. Industry-owned, which is what? Fed's private. So yep. Are they owned by them? Is that, yeah, they are definitely linked in with the Fed. If you go look it up and read my article, you know, I don't know how accurate it is. And it's just, you know, a layman going through and go, what? And a bunch of links. Now, a lot of times these links, they go away, you know. But I definitely got a beat on what they were doing. The Greatest Depression.
A layman.
Yeah, a layman. You know, you go to... just do Ernest Hancock, The Greatest Depression, and I think it'll probably come up. DTCC believes the technology represents a generational opportunity to reimagine the post-trade infrastructure. What do they mean post-trade?
Maybe like the transaction is the settlement trying to jump what Patrick Byrne's doing?
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit too. But the key to realizing this promise, the key... To this there's a promise, but there's a key. And gosh darn, we're going to tell you what the key is.
The key is to not let Patrick Byrne do it. We need to do it.
Yeah, something like that. That's but the key to realizing this promise is in fostering industry-wide, you know, the Federal Reserve System, SWIFT, all these guys, collaboration and aligning the technology with what? With them, okay? With the core principles of mitigating risks. Enhancing efficiencies and driving cost efficiencies. It's going to definitely, you know, enhance efficiencies and drive costs down and all this. But the core principle of mitigating risks, a law, a regulation, they're going to take blockchain and say, oh, you can only do it this way. We mitigate the risk. We love you so much. Oh, and by the way, we got the keys. Okay. This is blockchain. They're going to use it. It's like fire, man. It's a fearful master and, you know, a good slave, but a fearful master or whatever.
D dangerous service.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, this is part of like my Nexus speech where I said, you know, you had the progression of IPOs, initial public offerings, is how companies used to raise money. Then it was the ICOs, initial coin offerings, which was like the Wild West that was going on the past few years. And then now it's more of the STOs, security token offerings. And so I think what they want to do is be the on-ramp for all these security token offerings.
Hell yeah, they want to be the on-ramp for everything.
And then if you, it's interesting.
The off-ramp, they get there.
Well, I thought the reason you were bringing up DTCC, because I had sent you this a couple days ago, but apparently somebody else sent you something about DTCC, and this was all just a big coincidence.
No, it was from my original article, The Greatest Depression.
I thought you read my text messages from 2 days ago, because I had sent you this. I thought that's why you're bringing
it
up.
Well, I may have saw it. I mean, you know, I
you get a lot of crap. I send you a lot of crap, too. But then you're looking through the press releases, and
well, maybe that had to help me with my nightmare of freaking whatever, man. You know, I'm doing. Oh
no, but it looks like they're part of the Digital Chamber of Commerce. So that's that whatever that boring. What's that one? The girl who was speaking at Nexus last year, the Digital Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
So now they're
pairing or whatever. You know?
Yeah. So it looks like that they're one of their board of directors is now part of the Digital Chamber of Commerce. It looks like they're going to use IBM and somebody else to develop their distributed ledger system. So you know, I'm sure you feel comfortable having IBM develop it. They've got their Watson system, and only in this 1984 world that we live in can you have this, you know, supercomputer named Watson when Thomas Watson was the guy who got all the awards from, I mean, Hitler created his own special award where he got like the double Iron Eagle cross that he specifically created for Thomas Watson because he used all of his money to help out the Nazis. And now we've got like the system that's in charge of the VA called the Watson system. So it's just absolutely crazy. And another just kind of like segueing off of this, but Joby Weeks posted an article yesterday where it said something like, where were the Democrats outraged when FDR, who's basically like the left's god, appointed a former KKK member to the Supreme Court, which was, I guess, this guy, something, I think Hugo Black or something. And I never even heard of that before. I looked it up, and it looked like it was true. So not to segue off too much on this, but yeah, they joined the Ethereum Alliance. We're talking DTCC, but yeah, you just see all this coming where they're trying to hijack this movement. They, you know, they and those, they see where things are going and they realize that they're going to be cut out. So now they need to then jump in front of it and create these regulations to stop you and me while they then hijack this entire movement. That's what I think is going on. I'm not an expert on this. I just came across this the other day and I was pretty shocked to find this.
Oh, I'm looking for, I just did a search on, see if I can find that article by, I can find on Freedom's Face, let's see if you do The Greatest Depression, Ernest Hancock. And what comes up is an NBC Channel 12 interview at the time. They came to me, what do you think about whatever? So I went on, and what did I say here? Get ready for quantitative easing 3. I just got a copyright violation notice up, blah, blah, blah. For Gannett, the owners of the NBC TV affiliate, the Arizona Republic, and USA Today. I mean, not like they don't got a voice, right? Last I checked, to take the trouble 2.5 years later of the original post back in 08, 9/22 of 08, to have this interview taken down is interesting. The footage, video of my own TV playing an interview in my living room of me. Okay, it wasn't even taking their footage.
Not allowed.
Not allowed. It was video of my own TV playing an interview in my living room of me. Is what they wanted removed to the memory hole via the newspeak efforts of the lamestream media, the media that's so last century. It's not just my claim. You think a check for $700 billion is all they need? That's just this week's check. But the others being interviewed that put their faith in smarter people that must know what they are doing, they put that up. They like recut it or something. I'm going, what? This was 10 years ago. 9 years ago. This is, an interview that, you think it's just starting now? I'm telling you, you think I don't got the EBGBs? I do this all day, every day, and I have fun with it, and told you so, and here it comes. But I'm telling you, I did the same thing in 07, 8, 9. I'm screaming to all my friends and listeners and anybody. We started Freedom's Phoenix in 05, and I'm going, look, we had a category of real estate or housing. It was in their housing. And I would send that link. I go, this is what's coming. This is what's coming. But the Republic says, well, there's your first problem right there. Okay. Well, you look at the ads in it. It's all developers. There's car dealerships and developers and, you know, whatever government thing. And that's what Arizona runs on. So I'm just, here it comes again. Get out. Get out, get out, get out, get out. Especially if you're of retirement age, you're going to tell the people about the timing thing on this retirement deal or they're going to get nailed.
Yeah, so you can. So one of my, if you go to the LibertyAdvisor.com, I've got links out to all this different stuff. But specifically, sequenceofreturnrisk.com, and sequence of return risk is the notion that you're, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, what if I average 10% or average 8% or average whatever percentage you're banking on? Let's call it 10. If you average 10%, but year one you go down 40, I mean, I don't have the math at the top of my head used to, but I mean, you've got to go up, over 80%, you know, and then, you know, just to get back to even. But if you're actively withdrawing money, so let's say you go down 40%,
oh, yeah,
and you're withdrawing
four. It's understanding how screwed we are, the greatest depression. That's what we'll find out. Understanding how screwed we are.
That's an even better title.
Yeah, that's what will get you. The greatest depression. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You can't say it's screwed on TV or on air, but no, it's the notion that once you are actively withdrawing money and the market goes down big when your first years of retirement, right before retirement, you're basically done. You've got to go up like over like 100% if like the market goes down 40%, and I think if the market goes down 20%, and over the next 3 years, you've got to go up like over 100 if you're actively pulling
money out. It's the timing. If you got to pull out some, if you can wait and it goes back up, you might be okay. Like a lot of people retiring right now.
And we've got risk management strategies to basically prevent this. Or
give out the webpage real quick.
TheLibertyAdvisor.com, Tim@InnovativeWealth.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends.
Okay. Hopefully you guys are still listening live. If you're not, you go to the, you know, it doesn't matter me telling them. I meant to tell them while you're going. But the top of Freeman's Phoenix at the top left is the live feed of the video. But this is it. I went and looked for it. I'm going, God, where was it? And I looked on our own site. You know, on our own site, and I'm going, I don't need you, baby. I'll do it. The understanding how screwed we all are, The Greatest Depression by Ernest Hancock. Now, I put in several articles in there. There's one, Ernest Hancock will love this, Fed to backstop $25 trillion in CDS for Seed & Co. Now, this is a zero hedge thing from back in February of 10. Ernest Hancock nailed this years ago, best known for its Seed & Co. partnerships, which is the holder of virtually every single physical stock certificate in the universe and accounts for over $2 quadrillion in stock transactions per year. Now, who this was put up by was Jack Gregson, one of the guys I told you that took me seriously, sold his real estate at a high at the time in Nahwatukee, bought silver, lived in an apartment with his two daughters, I think, and his kindergarten teacher wife that was ready to divorce him over it. She was freaking. He's like, nope. And then what happened? Silver shot up. Stock market went to crap. Everything happened. You know, the real estate market went to crap. And they bought their home back for like half. And they had to go, yeah, who's the idiot now? Okay. So then he started writing for it. He goes, yeah, you want to see some. So he had a lot of, Jack Gregson had a lot of stuff. And then he got so much pressure from his like family members. He was in the oil business, his brother-in-law and everything. And he kind of, nah, don't do that no more. You know? So it was amazing. $2 quadrillion, you know, in transactions a year of how, and these guys are the ones doing it. So, you know, I put that up there. Let's see. Bud Burrell's second interview on the October 11, 2008. Bud Burrell's a guy here in Scottsdale that was talking about naked short selling. He's the one, we had him speak at one of our summits, and he's the one that introduced me to Patrick Byrne back in 09 or something. That's how I know Patrick. Okay, he goes, yeah, if you want to talk, you want to know what's going on, I read your thing. Yeah, you got a beat on it. I think you should talk to Patrick. And I talk to Patrick, and he's like, oh, let me tell you the rest of the story. So that's how Patrick and I know each other, is following through his process of doing that. Well, what does he do? T0. The transaction is the settlement. Zero. Now it's like 3 days, or then they do two or one.
T plus two now.
Yeah, whatever. It's enough time for them to flash, screw you, okay? So what you're saying is there's some competition. They're like holding him off, doing whatever they can. They got something they're going to do with a T0 thing.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on this, but I had one of my business partners was telling me about something the other day where that something is a transaction, is a settlement. I'm like, oh, you're talking about T0. And he goes, no, I'm talking about it's like CFX trading. And again, I'm not an expert in this. I just heard about it the other day. And but no, it looks like there's other people to the game now of realizing that you know, he's onto something and that they need to hijack this before they let free Morgan guys do it.
See, they're not going to let you just go be free. You got to do it yourself. Bloomberg did a TV program about what happened to Patrick Byrne, and it was a 30-minute TV program, and it won an Emmy. So it wasn't like, you know, slacker kind of, you know, whatever. So Patrick Byrne and I, we go way back.
There's a TV program on that?
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. It's a Bloomberg. Well, yeah, if it's still out there. I mean, you know, we'll look it up here. You know, but yeah, we'll do, let's see. Well, here, I got the link. I published because I'm a good boy. Yeah, so what does it say here? Then I went, and we'll see if that's loading up. And then, let's see, Bank of International Settlements Depository Trust Company. That's, you know, DTC, Federal Reserve, and the largest bank robbery in human history. Suzanne Trimbath, PhD, CEO, Chief Economist, STP Advisory Service. So we did a show on that and so on. See, back then, you know, I was much more into this. I mean, I was like, you know, but now I'm like, I get it. I get it. Oh, look at this.
If you want to rob a bank, buy a gun. If you want to rob the world, buy a bank.
Right.
Is that the saying?
Yeah. It links to a dead link on Bloomberg now. So hopefully it's out. I'm sure it's out there. You know, it's Emmy 30-minute Patrick Byrne. Bloomberg 30-minute Patrick Byrne. Okay, let me do that. Copy. Yeah, we got time. And I go there, Patrick Byrne. I'll put this back up.
I think they're rolling on the Boston Stock Exchange now, T0, or they're getting ready to.
Well, you can buy overstock on there, or however they do it. Let's see. Security Industries veteran explains exactly how America was robbed. Great show. I recommend you listen to this to understand what's happened and why. Let's have that one up. Bank of International Settlements Depository Trust Company, Federal Reserve, large bank. We got another one on that. Summary. This is it. I mean, it's longer than I can read now, but central bankers devised a way of, and this is me, central bankers devised a way of taking physical possession of all stocks in every initial public offering, as far as I can tell, it seems like all. This allows for selected entities, brokers, friends, etc., to use the stocks as collateral in such a way that they are counterfeited into many, 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 many times their value into the market. The term most associated with this practice is naked short selling. Sooner or later, someone is going to want to see the actual stock that they purchased or whatever is being used as collateral. Well, the settling of accounts has been going on in Europe, unknown to the general public in America, for many months in an attempt to lessen the damage to Europe's economy. And there was billion-dollar fines, and there was all they found in corruption of whatever, and that was Europe, and then they kind of swept that under the rug, and nobody heard about it, and America did their thing, and now they're trying to consolidate all of this and do a settlement of what they're trying to manage the world economy when they're the bank robbers. And they're the ones in charge. And they're the ones with the Goldman Sachs of the Lehman in charge. So who's in at the DTCC now? Well, the head guys from Lehman Brothers. I'm going, you can't make this stuff up.
And I think one of the head of like J.P. Morgan's credit default swaps.
Markit, M-A-R-K-I-T, is the European thing of this, the one that's undoing it. I was trying to find that. Markit, M-A-R-K-I-T. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, luckily I was just able to remember this lady's name. I think it's Blythe Masters. She was like some sort of head, but now she's like involved in some sort of blockchain thing. But she was, you know, involved in screwing a lot of this economy up to begin with. And so it's like they put like the arsonist in you know, the head of like the fire chief or something in every single case.
All right, hold on. Donna's gonna redo the whatever. We'll go ahead and video. Yeah, we're getting the next guest on. Gabriel is coming on.
Yeah, I still remember when I found out about the Bank of International Settlements, and it like just like blew my mind that like all this, that it's a central bank of the central banks. You go down in such a rabbit hole.
Let me read this paragraph ahead on that. DTCC is a member of the Federal Reserve System. They are the holders of the actual stocks, as far as I can tell. Now we have the bank, the central bankers we have been warned often about. by those tracking such things, the Bank of International Settlements has just announced their plan to audit the Federal Reserve, something even the U.S. government can't do. And you go back and look, and you can't find that. I remember this story. You know, Baker, no, well, we'll audit the bank. What? Who the hell are you? No, that went away. I'm telling you, man, EBGBs, EBGBs, EBGBs. All right, next hour, here we're going. Tim, hang out. But Gabriel and I, here we go.
Come.
You're listening to the best Liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Not. All right, Tim's got some new information of we're understanding how screwed we all are. The Greatest Depression. All right, what did you just find out?
So as we're going on this whole rabbit hole, the DTCC and blockchain, it then got me thinking of Blythe Masters. And it's weird, I sort of have like a photographic memory on some of this stuff, and I can't believe I remembered her name. But she was the one who was basically in charge of J.P. Morgan's credit default swaps and all their derivatives and all the basically crap that led to the 2008 financial crisis, or she was definitely at the center of this. And then you're looking at the DTCC website, and it's talking about how they've got partnerships with Hyperledger, and they've got partnerships with this other company called Digital Asset, and they've got another partnership with the Digital Chamber of Commerce, and they've got another partnership with blah, 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 all these different things. And then so then I'm researching Blythe Masters here, come to find out that she's the chairman of the Linux Foundation's open source Hyperledger project, that she's also a member of the Digital Chamber of Commerce. She's the CEO of Digital Asset Holdings, which those are all three companies that are referenced in the DTCC. And that part of it, and one of those companies, what they're doing right now is, I mean, they're actually, you know, developing the framework for the DTCC. So it's like you've got the people who are in, who basically, you know, helped engineer the financial crisis, who are now, you know, also spearheading all these different blockchain technology projects. So here we are. I've got kind of a microphone in front of the screen here, but it says Masters is the CEO of Digital Asset Holdings, LLC, a company that builds secure and distributed processing tools to speed up settlement, reduce costs, and enhance security and transparency in regulated industries. It talks about she's raised $100 million from all these big companies like IBM and Accenture and DTCC. And yeah, so I mean, are you feeling better knowing that Blythe Masters is here to save you? When,
yeah. Yeah, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
And I didn't know this until about half.
Yeah, I think it was who was it? Perry Amboring, I think it was. You know, type that in. Open up another window, another tab. Perry Amboring, Digital Chamber of Commerce. See if that's who it is. She was really young. I mean, she was like a teenager years ago, and she, I think her parents, some, they were in the crowd of, they knew
lobbyist
to
of K Street people.
Right. And she, and I'm and talking to her, I mean, she was schooled enough to know how it worked. And I'm going, what the heck is going on? They knew there was going to be a Digital Chamber of Commerce, and they needed some young babe to go out and just make the contacts with the industry of who's the coder guys and people in the mover and shaker and the threat of, and kind of, because they were always going to do this. They were always going to do this. And these guys are, I could see it happening. I'm going, God, you guys are, they're building a lobbying firm. And that's what, you know, Bitcoin, the BTC, that's what, you know, Blockstream. I mean, all this stuff, they're, it's all about compliance and interface. Do you see anything up there?
Yeah, I'm on the Digital Chamber of Commerce right now, and I've got, I was trying
to
figure,
have her name on there?
Yeah, I mean, I typed in Perry Ann Boring, and yeah. I mean,
okay, just come up. What's her position? What does she do?
I believe she's the head of it. I'm trying to find, I mean, I was on her wiki before, and then I got off of this, so.
So she's associated with, I got the right person, right?
Yeah. I remember her because she gave the intro to Ron Paul at the
right.
Nexus conference, and every other word.
Which was weird.
Every other word was,
Well, it's not just that. I mean, you know, well, she wasn't the greatest speaker in the world. It's just that in a ocean of noncompliance, she was the complier. And there was some deal that was made for her. She got to introduce. She got to get street cred for. She got, and she kind of blew her chance, you know. But It was, yeah, that was the, and that's why she's there, is to provide this conduit into this kind of stuff, you know, to be kind of have some street cred into the movement of, then you got people come over from DTCC and they're in charge of the Linux open source and we rule you blockchain crap.
The
you know?
Second sentence on Wikipedia for Chamber of Digital Commerce is, in 2015, economist and former J.P. Morgan Chase executive Blythe Masters was appointed to the advisory board. That's like this very, that's like the second sentence of this. But yeah, headquartered in Washington, D.C., 501c6 nonprofit with the IRS, blah, 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 blah. But no, yeah, so I mean, I don't really, you know, trust, you know, these bankers who are now going to be the, you know, the ones or overseers of, you know, lobbying for blockchain technology. But yeah, definitely got the babe part right. You know, she was definitely nice to look at. But in terms of, you know, what she was,
she's really young. She wore a lot of makeup to make her look older. I mean, you know, it was kind of, I'm going, how old are you?
Yeah, they don't have her age on here. I was trying to.
Yeah, she was like 17. She was a teenager or something. It was. I remember she stayed at Joby's. In Porkfest up there, she spent the night at least one or two nights up there and kind of hanging. You see her in the morning, I'm going, God, man, she's a kid. You know, there's something weird going on. You check out, you know, they're going to do the doxing her and family and parents and associations with and for anybody cared. You go do that, and I guarantee something comes up. I could just get eebie-jeebies, man, eebie-jeebies.
I mean, I find it kind of strange that you can't right away find her age on here. I mean, like, she's, you know, has enough connections to enough high up people that they don't.
No,
you know, usually.
I don't think she has the education or the, you know, what she was just a, you know, the, she was a selected infiltrator. It's kind of the impression that I got.
Sleeper cell.
Yeah, a sleeper.
You know, I got.
I mean, she's a nice girl enough. I get along fine with anybody. I'm just going, somebody at this level of this thing to do, and she didn't really have a lot of knowledge about the tech. She didn't really know. It was just like, it was the front of a something. There was something else going on here. And I just go, nah, you know, whatever. And, you know, if I care, I'll, you know, check, and somebody else will know more of whatever. And some other people had kind of the same impression, and yeah, whatever, we don't care. Because we're kind of open, it doesn't matter anyway. Like, Joby's doesn't have a secret for anything anyway.
Yeah, we don't care. Get off the stage so we can hear Ron Paul
right,
talk.
You know, but yeah, she went on, and I had to leave. It was, you know, I was like, oh, God, man, it's just a, you know, for the man. And so there's some weird stuff that's out, and it's happening. It's all building up to now. This one thing, I go on. The only place I can find this is Deep Capture, which is Patrick Byrne's website, that, you know, blog he kind of sometimes posts to when he feels like it. And it says, Bloomberg's TV special report, Phantom Shares, later nominated for an Emmy for investigative journalism, but all the links are gone. You know, so I'm gonna try and look at it in another way and see if we can do Phantom Shares. Bloomberg, Patrick Byrne, and see if it's still there. See, this is the kind of stuff that they're just stripping.
Well, it looks like she's probably 30 years old. If she it looks like she graduated from University of Florida 2010, so she was there from 2006 to 2010, so that would put her right about 30 years old. So
I think she started college early. I think she was kind of, so she may be, and this was years ago, so she was at least in her early 20s at the time when I, you know, so anyway, she's young.
But then she was a television host for RT for a year, worked for Representative Dennis Ross of Florida, blah, 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 blah. Now she's an adjunct professor at Georgetown University, which that's definitely a they, them, those type school. Blue blood school, I guess, if you want to.
Yeah, no, it's Washington. She K Street, you know, dear, you want a career? Show you how to do it. Go up to congressman and say, ooh, you must lift and say, you know, distributed ledger a lot. You know?
Yeah, well, I'm from Syracuse, New York, which is like the big arch rival is Georgetown, actually, of all places. So I've got no love for Georgetown.
Okay, I finally found this. God, man. 2007, Emmy Award-winning investigative reporter and broadcaster Gary Matsumoto received a Business Emmy nomination program, Phantom Shares. And this is part one of, you know, this thing, and I'm sure.
This is the Patrick Byrne thing?
Yeah. I was like, God, man, how hard are you going to make this for me to find? Oh, and it doesn't have a pause thing. What the heck is this? They get special treatment.
Oh, I hate when you can't fast forward or pause. And
then it doesn't show the part next. This is weird, man. I'm telling you, all this stuff, it's just, you can't adjust the volume, you can't stop it, you can't pause it.
It's like all the Stansberry research stuff where they always like want to get to the next thing, but the video's like an hour long and you don't know how long it's going to be, and they just keep you going and going and going and
Wow. Eebie-jeebies.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're back. I was sitting here playing with this. You know, Gina's putting up the article, and it is, or the two videos. It's called Phantom Shares, and Phantom Shares Part 1 and 2, and this was not easy to find. I am like, damn, you got to do some funky searching of something. And the only way that I was able to find it is by searching Naked Short Selling whatever with Patrick Byrne, and then one of his articles from way back mentioned the name that kind of, and it was all about him, but it doesn't have his name in the, you know, be able to search it, and the summary, you know, there's no,
put it up on D2, so it's
there's no nothing. I'm sorry, what?
You got to put that up on D2, hell so yeah. We can't erase that.
Hell yeah.
I'm
hell
sure, yeah. I'm sure Patrick won't mind.
Yeah, no, he doesn't care. You know, wow. Yeah, it's time to get Patrick back on. I want to talk and see where all this is going. I think he's kind of going, yeah, he's, there are storm clouds across the planet. It's like having overcast, and you see we call it heat lightning. I don't know what you call it. You know, it's like, you know, the lightning.
That's what we call it, yeah.
Yeah, above the clouds. And I'm going, there's some battle of the gods up there. There's something going on. Little people, we don't know. We just get the storm, you know. And this is what's happening. You know, all the same people that we started to understand what was going on. It was after I wrote the Greatest Depression thing. It was a guy named Bud Burrell that did a radio show, and a friend, I think it was Mike Duggar, he goes, Ernie, you need to listen to this. And I listened to it, and I got like $300 or $600 credit if I wouldn't take the flight out of Baltimore because somebody out there overbooked, and, you know, who wants to stay? And I had, you know, I was doing, you know, Levolution stuff, and I needed time. I couldn't get the internet on the plane anyway, you know.
Probably so 110 just, here, so sure, I'll stay somewhere cooler.
Yeah, I'm good. You know, I'll just sit here and get my work done, and then when I get on the next flight, which was like 3 hours later or something, and I'll be done. You know, I'm going, cool. Then when I get home, I'll be done. You know, I'm not wasting time. So, and I was tired, so I finished my work and did whatever, and I laid down, you know, because I'm not shy, man. You know, put my backpack, and I'm just laying down, you know. Where's the open space in the airport, man? You know, those guys you see laying down, that's me, you know, because I'm not going to suffer. So I found some place to kind of lean up against or something, and I'm just sitting there listening to this thing. Then I listened to it again, and it was probably an hour and a half at least or something, and then I listened to it. In 24 hours, I think I listened to that thing three times because I had to look up different terms. And what the hell are you guys talking about? And I got hold of him. He's here in Scottsdale. And he was an older guy and so on. He's a big stock guy, kind of whatever. And eventually we had – now, of course, he was not libertarian. I mean, he wasn't even close to libertarian. We had him speak at the Freedom Summit, and he's going to explain it to us and how we got a government of whatever. And we're like, you know. But he was a nice enough guy, and he had a lot of information. But he's the one that hooked me up with Patrick Byrne. He goes, yeah, I get you a show. You can get me, you know, the gazillionaire. What I know, Patrick who? I don't know who these guys are. So I go, yeah, well, this happened to him and his company. Yeah, come on. Well, he immediately – I mean, he latches on to the Freedom guys. He's going – oh, you understand. Yeah, I get. What the hell? So, and I had written this article that I think he had read it. Go, oh, yeah, I already kind of gets what's up. I can fill in the blanks. So after I did this, Why We're All So Screwed, The Greatest Depression, Ernest Hancock, Why We're All So Screwed, Greatest Depression. You do that, it'll come up. And I think I'll forward it back to the front
for
page.
Now. It'll come up for now.
Yeah. Well, no, we have it. Well, it's on our servers. So it's like, you know, that's one thing that we do. We're not doing this cloud. That's why I'm not. No, we do our own servers with our own backups and backups and backups, because we've had all kinds of attacks and stuff over the years. But it's just like, you know, it worked like a blockchain node. It just repopulates. It just goes back up, syncs up with the other ones. It's never going away. We already had that decentralized mindset before we even heard of blockchain, you know, because I knew better. Well, for exactly these reasons. This perspective, it's a perspective. I'm going, God, what's your perspective on it? Oh, that government always tells the truth and they're good guys and just a flavor of it'll be okay. And I'm going, no, my perspective is they don't. And, you know, this is, as you get accumulate all this information, it just, I can feel it. So it's called Phantom Shares, part one and part two. Gina's putting it up now. It'll be on the front page in a little bit, and I'll have it linked into the third hour, or maybe the second hour when we were yakking about it. I think that people understand exactly what's going on much more, because Patrick Byrne had no clue. He's like, what the heck? He goes, how are they trading? They're trading more stocks than are in existence. I have most of them. He goes, what the hell is going on? How are they doing? And here's a Stanford smart genius crypto math guy.
PhD in math from Stanford.
Yeah, no, the boy knows what's going on. He goes, there's some fraud. Something's going on here. So he takes blockchain and he creates T0, which is the transaction is the settlement. None of this waiting, you know, naked short selling, playing game, whatever. You bought it, you got it, you're done. You know? Well, they don't like that. And he said Goldman Sachs came to him and they said, can you just kind of even a day, a second, a minute? They wanted just enough time to let their computers do flash trading. If they could have any delay whatsoever. He goes, no, that's the whole freaking point, you vampire squid.
Well, that and what they also do is, let's say, you know, you want to trade 100 shares and there's 5,000 other people that want to trade 100 shares, and they just all put all your trades together and commingle them and then put it in one big block trade. And so that way it's hard. It's like a big pile of spaghetti that they've got to unravel. And so they want to have everything be a spaghetti. So then that way you can't go and find out all their financial fraud and malfeasance and all the other crap that they're constantly pulling.
Patrick Byrne gave a speech at Cato. And it was a Cato thing that I gotta turn that up. It was a Cato thing, and he was describing how it works. You know, he's going, look, you create this level. Here's the brokers. Here's the next level. The level of the level of they get to screw you, and everybody gets a cut level. And they're a bleed on the entire financial system. It's just funding the bank, and they do absolutely nothing productive. And all these regular everything is just to protect their industry. You know, we'd come in with it. The transaction settlement done. Blockchain, it's like, you know, I do it on my smartphone. It's like banking on your smartphone. Banking on your laptop. Done.
And they flew him out to Paris and they're like, well, how do we fit into this? And he's like,
don't. No,
which is why now they're probably doing DTC and the Digital Chamber of Commerce and the other digital thing that Blythe Masters is doing.
I'll tell you what Patrick told me. He goes, he said, he was on the show and he goes, it was a VP of Goldman Sachs. After it was, I think he said it was January 16, they got the memo. I mean, you know, the banking industry go, hey, we ain't going to win this one, man. You just might as well just give it up because, you know, it's out of our hands. It's got to the point to where we got to, you know, if you can't beat them, join them kind of deal. So all of a sudden, they want to be buddies. Well, that summer, he goes, the attitude totally changed. Oh, yeah, we want to be buds and we'll work with, kind of, you know, and then he releases on NASDAQ T0. You can buy overstock on T0. They had T0, big funding thing. I wanted to get some, but you had to be a qualified super investor of a bunch of money.
Accredited.
Yeah, whatever. I'm going, I don't get to do it. Well, that sucks. You know, I go, of course I know this technology is going to, of course they're going to go after it too. Well, by that summer, he gets a call from Goldman Sachs, VP of whatever, to meet him in Paris. Whatever, get your butt here, man. We can kind of, you know, I don't know, foot massages, whatever the hell they got to do to get him go. So he goes there, has dinner with him, and it goes like this. What's our role in this new blockchain of what? He goes, you don't have one.
Skip to the end.
He goes, yeah, you want me to just, you know, BS you and you sugarcoat it how you want it? Straight. You don't have one. Yeah, it's kind of what we thought. What they had done, the board of directors had got a team of, I think he was saying, it was like a half a dozen guys, some IT super geeks that they had, go figure out this blockchain thing. Go tell us and report back. A few months later, they come back and they go, we're screwed. So they had to figure out some way they can get, well, here it is. DTCC, Mr. Tim Pachote, be a finding it. And they don't want you to compete. Tim went through this stuff for a year to be able to do this and the delays and everything. And you kind of snuck in and kind of around about and kind of what the hell. Facebook won't let you do, even though you comply with all of their regulations and everything, what they want.
Like if I can't do it, who the hell can? I've got all the licenses, all the
everything. I bet you're the last one to even be able to do this unless you're with the man. You kind of scared. It's Tim Pachote or the vampire squid.
Yeah, or Goldman Sachs. I guess it's funny because I was thinking, like, well, a lot of times you call them government Sachs and or Goldman Sachs. I'm like, just call them government Sachs.
No, I call them GoldmanSachs.gov coin. That's what coming out.
But right now, I mean, you can do things to protect yourself. And one of the biggest risks I want to make sure that people are aware of, you know, we talked about, you know, really just head to sequenceofreturnrisk.com. We'll talk a few minutes probably here during the break over here. Sequenceofreturnrisk.com. It's a 3-minute presentation that breaks it all down. The other big thing is
no, that is the big thing. He's done this presentation.
It's 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes.
This is what is going to hit everybody when this goes down now. Because everybody's, you know, senior retirements after 2012, you know, what, you know, it's going deficit and the spending and the Social Security, and that's where the money is, and it's gone.
And don't think keeping your money in bonds is going to be the safe way to play this. I just came out with a client video that came out at 6:30 this morning. Dr. Frank actually just texted me saying, hey, you rock. If you want to email me, tim@innovativewealth.com, I'll send you that client video. It's about half an hour, break down a lot of this different stuff. We're hoping to have like different live webinars, but again, tim@innovativewealth.com, and I'll send you the video that I sent to all my clients.
Yep. Go to freedomsphoenix.com, left video. We're going to continue.
I moved here to the Shire.
All right.
Yeah, so I can't hang for very long because I got to get to Old Town Scottsdale.
Man,
and now that day.
I edit this. I want to get it out because, damn. I hadn't even looked at the stock market. You know, I haven't looked. It was
an all-time high yesterday.
Oh, I feel so much better now. You know, wasn't it an all-time high before? See, this, it's all the same stuff. If you go back 10 years and you go through the summer of 2008,
it's down. It's down quite a bit. I mean, it's down 235, which doesn't mean the same as what it did when the Dow was at like 14,000.
Today it went down 235.
Right now, currently, it's down 235.
Neon, I freaking told you so. Okay. All right. You know, this is Dow Jones.
This is good timing for my client video to come out that. Because not all my clients are, you know, they're a lot of them aren't libertarians, and not all the new ones coming on are, which is a good thing, or most of them are. So, you know, some of the older ones who've been with me for a while, you know, they might be wondering, you know, hey, what I'm talking about. But another big risk is interest rate risk is the last risk I want to talk about. That is the risk that when the interest rates go up, the underlying value of the bonds go down. You've got a $1 million bond that is, let's say, a 10-year duration. Rates go up 1%, your $1 million is now $900,000. Now, granted, you'll get your, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5% interest. And if you can't live off that interest, you've got to then sell at a loss, and that money is never coming back. So, you know, a lot of people are trying to, you know, ride this out, be safe. They want to stay in bonds. They want to stay in cash. I personally do not think that is the way to play this or to go forward. I mean, if you wanted to be, say, quote unquote, safe over here, I'm doing little air quotes over here. And if, let's say, you were a German in, you know, 1900 Germany, and your currency back then was called the Goldmark. If you kept your money in Goldmark denominated bonds, you were screwed when all of a sudden it came. I believe the next one was I think it was Renmark. Then it was the Reichmark. Then it was the Deutschmark. Then now it's the Euro. And so you have all these different. But if you kept your money in those paper assets, in, you know, in their version of the dollar, you know, Renmark, Reichmark, Goldmark, or bonds, you're wiped out and paid, you know, pennies on the dollar every time. But if you kept your money in something like, let's say, Mercedes-Benz stock, which was actually around back then as the oldest car company in the world, you know, now your stock was just transferred to the different currencies. And so I think there are different ways using various types of options where you can help protect the downside while also getting upside. Because ultimately, I think a crash I don't think it will happen the same way as it did in 2008. And I think what ultimately will happen is, and this audience probably knows, I mean, that's not a crazy thing to predict, that we'll probably just end up having QE 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and which could lead the stock market going to infinity. In that German example, I think I'm not looking at notes here, but I think in 1912, 1913, their stock market was around like 200, 300. And you fast forward to, you know, 1923, and it's like 27 million-ish. And again, I'm not looking at notes, so it's approximately. But whether it's 26 million or 20, 25 million, that's not the point. And the point is
the percentage increase was what?
Well, no, I mean, it went from like 200 to like 25 million in the span of like 10 or 11 years.
Yeah,
and most of it was like over the, and just like Venezuela, everything is fine to the day it's not fine. I mean, the United States government, if we tried to get into the euro, we have too high of a debt, our annual deficit as a percentage is too high for us to even get into the euro. If we, I mean, granted, obviously, you know,
get into the euro, what do you mean?
If we tried, hypothetically, just playing devil's advocate, if we tried to apply to become an EU member, which obviously we wouldn't, and there's no reason why. I mean, I don't want to give many ideas here, but our debt is actually too high as a percentage every year to even qualify to become an EU member if the United States wanted to become one. Because I believe our, I mean, the past trailing 12 months, the debt's gone up $1.2 trillion, which is about, you know, 5% of $20 trillion. So I guess now technically $21.5 trillion of debt we have now. So our debt at an annual basis is more than the 2% of deficits that the EU allows. So we can't. So if the United States tried to become an EU member, we couldn't, because our debt is over twice as much as what they even allow. And that's even with all the accounting gimmicks and all the other BS they have.
Wow. Okay, I'm looking. Dow Jones Industrial down 262 points. I mean, which is, you know, happened a lot, but it ain't up, I can tell you that.
Well,
you know, so that is one thing. Let's see. Let's take a look at the 30-year Treasury. I'm all, oh, my God.
Three. I don't know. What is it?
Take a look.
Wow, it spiked up quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, this is what I watch. The 30-year Treasury. A lot of you guys listen to the show. You know, that this is, I would have looked at this later after the show while I'm editing. I put this stuff up. This is going up. All right, the 30-year Treasury has been down. I mean, and it was this high. If you go in, you go the max. All right, let's go max. So the 30-year Treasury, the tracking that they've had on it since 77, it looks like here. In 81, 82, it went to like 15%.
And then it went down to about 1.3 last year.
Yeah, this was like Volcker trying to save the dollar, and you got, because you, nobody would lend you money if they didn't have a return. They go, screw you, man. You guys suck. We'll give you 15% over 30. Hell yeah, man. Gimme, because it's good. I'm making, whoever bought those are making 15% for 30 years. Well, when's 30 years up? You know, 81, see, it's 91, 01, 11. So when that rolled over about, you know, 11, 12 or something like that, who's buying that up? China, Russia, you know, whatever. Now, you know, they're selling them, or they're not buying them anymore. The ones that rolled over before, because it spiked up to, God, in 85, it was at, you know, like 13%. And in, this is when I started getting involved, is, you know, early 90s when it hit, it was around 8 or something. They were freaking out and so on. But it went, they just kept lowering and lowering and lowering and lowering and lowering to where down, it's been down to like nothing percent. So now it's starting to shoot up again. And I'm going, I always check the 30-year Treasury. Why? Because, I mean, you know, I just, you know, that's what you look at. It just shot up like last night, okay? It just, boom, which has gone up, I don't know, a bunch of basis points, whatever. Anyway, on the graph, it's shooting up. This is a telltale sign. This is what I'm looking for. They need money, and nobody will borrow it, so they keep raising the interest. This is what happened to Greece. This is what happened to Italy. This is what happened to, you know, and I'm going, when the 30-year Treasury spikes up, that's, and I just opened it, and it went, boing!
No, this goes back to what you said yesterday. You're going to wish that things were as bad as they are right now, a couple years from now, because starting in December, the ECB, the European Central Bank, is going to stop buying bonds, supposedly. And so if you're Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, Spain, and you're way underfunded and you're a complete mess and you're entirely predicated on borrowing money at sometimes at negative interest rates, and now all of a sudden, you know, they're not going to buy bonds anymore. And they've also been buying bonds for like Deutsche Bank and different corporate banks going on. You've got that headwind. You've got the headwind of the Federal Reserve, who's now selling $600 billion a year. You've got about another $1 trillion of bonds that are rolling over. You've got another about $1.2 trillion of deficit that we have that the Treasury is going to have to issue bonds. So, I mean, if you add all that up, that's over $2 trillion of bonds right there that are going to be issued. Well, who was buying the bonds? Well, it was the Federal Reserve. Well, now they're the biggest sellers. Then who else was buying the bonds? China. Oh, last time I checked, we're in a trade war with them. Who else was buying the bonds? Oh, Japan. Last time I checked, they're the most indebted country in the world. So you see all these different factors leading up to having interest rates basically have to go higher. I mean, you know, there's always rabbits that they can pull out of their sleeves and all this other crap that they pull. But this is where the interest rate risk comes in. And if the video that I have going out, it was just going out to my clients, and I sent it out to Dr. Frank, and I sent it out to you this morning, but it was, you know, during your show, so obviously you didn't see it yet. But if you guys email me at tim@innovativewealth.com, I'll send you guys what I sent my clients. I'll get the email coming straight from me. I'm too busy to spam you guys, so believe me, you know, if there's ever, you know, a fault of my marketing strategy, it's that I'm not getting on people enough. But right now, you know, I believe in what we're doing. I believe in and getting out ahead of this. And I, you know, I'm not fearful and I'm not scared right now, because I think that ultimately I'm hoping that myself and my clients end up making money from this. But, you know, I think that there could be the blood in the streets, and so I'm okay. Fearful around me.
This is what I want to, you know, go on Zero Hedge. So I, you know, this is what I open. I go. I have hot links on, you know, my back end, the custom module on Freedom's Phoenix. We'll be promoting this custom module more as we go. God, there's so much infrastructure that we're doing for just this time. But there's no way that Freedom's Phoenix would have been able to do it if we made a big giant, because I could see what was coming after the Levolution. They were targeting us. It was going to go, whoa, we'll just kind of get development and all done and everything decentralized. We're going to whip ass, and then what are you going to do? And we're in the what are you going to do now stage. So we're working on, Tim's helping us with the video, Derek's working on the thing, we're getting the Pirates and Davi, now we've got, because it's going to be, hey, nothing works. I can't get, you know, my friends aren't available. Yeah, well, we're not on that one. So what happens? They're going to do the blockchain of we're DTCC, the financial, and it's through us, kind of, seriously? You didn't learn anything? Yeah, because you're going for that younger immediate fix. I get my rat orgasm click bar BS. You know, I'm going, stop thinking this way. But, you know, you got to make the money where you can make the money and the people where they are. I understand. I've just tried to insulate myself from that with help and people support the cause and, you know, freedom-oriented patrons and so on. So this is what's going on. I go in and things that I track, one, I look at the 30-year treasury. Boom, it's shooting up. That is the sign. Here we freaking go. So I, you know, if this continues, I mean, it's a big spike. I didn't see a spike like this for a while, but, you know, in a day, but it's now, you know, it's been kind of edging up a little bit, and then boom. So I'm just, it's a telltale sign. There's a lot of reasons why, and Tim explained it later. Then I look at the Dow, and it's taking a dump, but, you know, it's not, you know, this is like a Tuesday. I mean, you know, it does it all. It's all over the place all the time. You know, 260 points now don't mean nothing. I mean, that was like, you know, oh, my God, you know, back in the day. So then I go to Zero Hedge. All right, what's on Zero Hedge? Kavanaugh probe, surveillance, presidential tax alert. Indictments of Russians doing hacking spree of whatever. Pence says this about China. Kavanaugh, blah, blah, blah. Then finally it gets to debts and deficits, a slow motion train wreck. Greece planning, another one, Greece planning bad debt bailout for its banks after market crash. Stocks sink as tech tumble, Trump's bank bid, high yield bonds hammered, factory orders, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, here it goes. You know, bankruptcies of Sears and everything, and here comes in. But there's one here. You like this. Explosive report details Chinese infiltration of Apple, Amazon, and the CIA, the big hack. Bloomberg exposes how China used a tiny microchip no bigger than a grain of rice to infiltrate more than 30 U.S. companies, the DOD and the CIA. Yep. The global supply chain has been compromised. What have I been screaming about? You can't buy a motherboard that doesn't have this stuff in there. And it's competing hacks by competing intelligence agencies are competing. You know what that little square does on your motherboard of whatever? How the hell do you know? And this thing is like, God, man, it's like 2 millimeters long and 2 millimeter, you know, high. I mean, it's a little teeny of, it's ours now. I didn't even put it up yet. I didn't even looked at it. I just see the headline. This, check your six. I'm telling you guys, you know, Tim's getting ready. He's got to leave. But I got the EBGBs. It is time. You know what I do when I get these kind of EBGBs? I go to Sam's Club and I buy a 50-pound bag of beans. Yeah, right after I do a dupe. But it is time. You know what? I'm glad you finally got your crypto advisor thing done. It's just, you didn't start too damn early. I mean, it was, you just got it, man. You're ready to rock. Oh, where are you going? You going to go rock with some guy, give me money guy? Are you meeting something?
I've got a really big meeting right now. But right now, you know, I did take a big personal hit to do this. You know, I mean, there's about half my business that I had to give up just voluntarily because there's certain, giving up my seven, there were certain clients that were in certain instruments that, honestly, it was better for them to stay there than for me to pull them out of it. And I was doing the ethical thing by leaving them in there. So, and I did take a personal hit, but we are building this back up really fast right now. Because
some of those guys coming back say, "Hey, Tim, what's up? Give me a little something."
No, yeah. There's, you know, there's people. You're definitely helping me out with a lot of people coming over here from
the
show. No,
I mean your previous clients.
Yeah, no, almost all of them have come over. A few of them, there's other advisors that were in similar social circles with me, and they're, you know, not libertarian clients. They're like, "Oh, you know, Tim was talking about, you know, all the crap we've been talking about the past, you know, 2 hours." And they're like, "You know, Tim's been talking about this crash, and things are going better, and he's just, you know, a stop clock, and, you know, hey, why don't you have me manage the money?" Because, you know, there's another financial advisor in this social circle biking world that I was in, because I had a lot of triathlete clients. And, you know, I'm like, you know what, you want to check out the track records? The track record is in 2007, I was running money for my school, university at the time, and put I was running it for the financial stocks, put the whole thing in cash. How you like me now? And getting, you know, chewed out by the dean, getting chewed out by everybody, and I stuck to the wits, put it in cash. Then I moved here when the market absolutely crashed. Everyone's like, "What are you doing? You know, moving to Arizona, everything crashed." Bought a house within a month or two of the market low, just, you know, sold, you know, part of, you know, your advice. And also, you know, I sold the house because I wasn't sure when the government was going to approve me, and I was like, you know, I want to cash out now and have some reserves.
Now, what was here. I screaming? Get out now!
Well, believe me,
get out now!
It wasn't only my decision. So, you know, I had to have the wife on board with that one. But no, then you look at the other financial advisor in my circle and take a look at, you know, his record. Oh, he had a multi-$100,000 short sale versus me, who had over $100,000 gain. So, okay, if you want to go with that guy, go ahead. You know, on his record, it shows that he had a huge ass storage sale, and on me, you know, the exact opposite. So, if you want to go with this guy, who's just, you know, touting up, you know, the average CNBC, everything's great, everything's
yeah,
better.
Read this Arizona Republic article. It says,
go ahead, and then, you know, then you can come back to me when you got half your money in 2 years, if I even let you. You know, so, at that point. But anyways, I really do have to run. I've got like a 45-minute drive.
All right, go,
but,
man, go.
Tim, well, at InnovativeWealth.com. The video I came out with just this morning for my clients, I made it 2 days ago. It's very, very. I mean, it's I go through all the interest rate stuff in live time on the Federal Reserve Economic Data
website. Well, can we post it?
I want it just for my clients right now, and then I'm going to...
Well, can I get it?
Yeah, I sent it to you.
Oh, okay. In what, a text
morning.
Or something?
No, it's
email?
It's to your email. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it up on one of my own web pages, and I'll send it to Donna so she can link it. But I didn't have time to do that.
You don't have Tim as your guy. You're not his client. Screw you.
No. I still like you, son.
All right. Well, he's telling you now.
See you guys.
All right. See you later, Tim. Yeah, we'll sign off. I'm call Tim. Somebody that, you know, understands what's happening. Because I don't understand it as much as I see the signs and just got the EBGBs. I am not the professional. See you later, Tim. I don't go by what I say. Just, you know, take a look at what I say, you know, and then, you know, see what's up. Because who have I been talking to during this time? Patrick Byrne, no slouch. He saw what was coming. He saw how they did it. He created a solution for it. He knows who he's up against. He knows what playing field, international, everywhere we're playing on this. And just because it says blockchain or distributed ledger and all that kind of crap, if it's DTCC and, you know, which is, you might as well just say Federal Reserve. I mean, it goes, you know, them, DTCC, seed and co, blah, 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 blah. You know, if you go to today's archive, I put, you know, that article that I wrote, and this is 10 years ago. I don't know crap from apple butter. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I just see and I looked at this. I checked that guy. Ew. This is what I had no idea. A lot of people didn't know. When Tim gave the presentation at the Breakfast Club years ago, young guy comes in and he knows this from, he had come to a party a long time and just started coming friends and, you know, coming by and hanging and people ask him questions. So he goes, "Let me tell you what the real risk is. It's the interest rates and when you retire and how much and when you need to tap into it and start, you know, pulling on your retirement to actually live and you want it to last for like, you know, next 30, 40, 50, however long you're going to live years, and it's gone." And this is going to happen to a bunch of people. It already did. Now, some people were lucky enough that they could kind of ride it out. They, you know, wait, it went back up. We're good. But now they need it. And when it goes back down and you start pulling out, then what? Do you got diversified in other stuff? How much actual metal do you have? And it's low now. How much crypto do you have? And it's low now. And the big gains you're going to get, you go with Tim, you can protect your gains so you don't have to pay capital gains on it. And I'm going, I don't know what else. I had the same feeling in 07 when I'm screaming on the radio, 7 and 8 during 11. I was going, get out now. Well, some people and my friends did, or they restructured their stuff or changed. So they're fine or finer. So that, yeah, missed it. Or yeah, see, you didn't get the big giant leaps of gains of, well, some did. They kept a little here, there, and kind of took some profits and scrolled around and gotten that cheap. And back when they're buying silver, when it was $6, 10, 13, 15, I don't know anybody that bought a big giant chunk, you know, higher than 15. I mean, a lot of people did, and you know, when it shot up, oh my God, I got to get it. But I mean, before that, you know, it was like, man, we got to get it. Ooh, and it went up, and they started, you know, they paid off debt and did whatever they did, and kind of, and it's all good. Where are you now? I'm glad I had that dream. It was just very uncomfortable. I in the first hour I was talking about it, I had a dream. I was doing all this stuff and reached up late and dispatch and all this just kind of came in this morning. I'm just antsy and I'm just kind of, there was something, it was just something weird. You know, it was just, there's something when I worry, because I don't worry. I'm not a worrier. I'm no fear, no fear, no fear. Because I just, yeah, you do the best you can. You do as much as you can then. You do as much as you can to, you know, save your family and take care of yourself and go buy beans. When I get, you know, I think that's what we do today. Because whenever I get this feeling, you know, I got, you know, poly barrels full of rice and beans and flour and sugar, you know, and whatever, salt. And, you know, I go, first thing, Donna, we need to, I want in Mylar sealed packs. I want to be able to make a loaf of bread every day for a year using my Sun oven. Man cannot live on bread alone, but he can try for maybe a year. So I go, just start. I always have a good loaf of bread in the Sun oven. Make 50 minutes in February here in Arizona. Boom, done. Perfect bread. And so I go, this is awesome. You know, I want this. You know, do that. Then black-eyed peas, bunch of rice, beans. Heck, I grew up on that in Florida as a kid, rice and beans, you know, black-eyed peas and rice, man. Ooh, it was yummy. So, you know, a little bit of, and then we got some freeze-dried meats. You know, we have, you know, some of those in can. They're probably past age or whatever, but probably still work. So you can put those in there. Just enough that I'm not going to starve. Are you not going to starve? We got the aquaponics thing here. We got the fish. We got chickens and eggs. You know, just, but what if I got to go on the road? What if you got to be out? I mean, what do you have? I'm worried about my family. Well, you know, they're armed up enough that they, you know, kind of, you know, slow down the galloping horde of, you know, the kids can escape or something. You know, they got, you know, dogs, you know, kind of warning. You know, one's got, God, I think it's a pit bull. You know, pit bull calls him Kember after his 45. And the other one, you know, a German Shepherd. Yeah, those are little rat dogs, you know, that, you know, kind of warn you where they're at. But the, you get some firearms, you get some food, got camping equipment. You know, all the kids are, now, because it's too hot in the summer a lot of times, so they're planning camping trips now. Over the next month or so, there's like the whole state of Arizona is like awesome to go camping, you know, here in the next, over the next few weeks. So they got their, you know, their trailers and fifth wheels and so on, and their race car haulers or their Polaris hunting, whatever the hell. And they're getting things all set up, and they get their, you know, it's time to go camping, make sure the generator works and the solar charging of the whatever you got. It's just, you know, a little bit of prepping. I mean, not big, giant, oh my God, camo prepping, but prepping. You know, just kind of, you're going to be able to last a little bit. Are you? What are you depending on? Where are you going to be? Are you going to be on my front door? Hey, you already said, hey, man, love you, but, you know, I give you one meal to hit the road and down to, I got to take care of my family. Sell you a dome. So we'll be working on that. But, you know, just when we do the decentralized, what I'm doing, I was talking to Derek yesterday, man, we got to get on this. We gotta rock and roll, man. Let's go. Because I am want to spend more time doing videos once a week to kind of sum up what we've been talking about today and some solution. This is how we did the solar generator Bob and I created. It's awesome. Little, big, they're just great. I'm so glad that we did that, and I'd like to do bigger and different ones. Then you have, the shelter, the dome. How are you covering it? Are you concrete? I saw we put it up on yesterday. I think it was on Freedom's Phoenix. They were making geodesic domes and covering them in little 8-square sheet, smaller than the size of a sheet of paper, burlap bags filled with dirt or mud or something. And he just pinned it around. They put burlap around the thing. They pinned all these on. And then they took a drone with a fire hose and sprayed it with mud. I don't know what the hell that was about. It was just to show they could, I guess. But, it's same kind of thing what we're talking about. For cheap. Is that going to be a thing? I can't stress it enough. If you got time today, get off your ass. Go to Sam's Club, Costco, and they're like nothing. Right now they're nothing. You go and you get a bag of beans. 50-pound, 30-pound bag of beans. Which is what? How much? Yeah, Don, is it? How much is a? Here, get on the mic over there. Yeah. Yeah. Go on the mic. So tell me, how much, when we get those big bags of beans or rice or something, how much are they about, you think?
Jeez, you're asking somebody who has, I have no idea, probably, I don't know,
$10 or something?
Seven, probably less than $10, I guess. I don't, it depends on what kind of bean you get, too.
Okay, so I go, I'll put on here, Sam's Club 30-pound beans. It's been a while since we did that. I just upped the Sam's Club thing because I went and got some stuff. What the hell? Oh, yeah, I got some shorts and silverware and, different stuff. Just went shopping. And I didn't get any, the good stuff, the good. All right, members, Mark, pinto beans, 12 pounds. Sam's Club no longer selling 50-pound bag of beans. What?
Yeah, but we ran into that years ago when we went.
Remember that? That's right. Rice was
so
out.
Just go to Smart and Final, they sell them. Maybe Winco. I don't really. I haven't looked for a while, but they
That a few years ago, couldn't buy rice.
Yeah, you couldn't buy the bigger bags. They sold them. They just had smaller quantities. So
no, they were out. It was a shortage. It was something to do with China, whatever it was. I don't remember what. Let's see. I stopped by Sam's Club. What is this date on? This was 08. This is a blog post from 08. And it says, I stopped by Sam's Club to pick up a couple of 50-pound bags of beans and discovered the largest bag they now carry is 10 pounds. I was told they went to the smaller bag because they just don't sell enough, blah, blah, blah. All right. So I'm just, let's go to samsclub.com. I want to see what they are. I just want the audience to know this is, we're not talking $1 billion here. And a 50-pound bag last year for freaking ever held the North Vietnamese army lived on rice. That's all they had. They went around kicking on butt on America, on rice. So this is, come on, open. That's another thing. Internet speeds are just, what happens when the internet just goes? Tim has 600 megabyte, it was something stupid. It was the 3-5 gig down, up. It was some ridiculous amount because they, in the outlying areas where he is now, they're bringing in fiber optic to compete with Cox Cable. And they just All right, let's see. Member services, yada, yada, yada. Beans. See, I just put beans in there and see what's up. Okay. 2-ply, come on, reload. All right, beans, I want the bags. In club only, how much here? Black beans, 12 pounds. Looks like they're just doing 12 pound, is kind of their biggest thing. They don't have the big things. That will change, because I've seen this happen. What happens, it's based on, people will buy. And when they start doing it, here it comes. 12 pounds of pinto beans is $7.58, so 63 cents a pound. I don't know, is that a lot or not? Is that a good deal?
You know, I don't know. I said, it's been a long time
since we bought in bulk like that. But we have it. We need to start going through it and rotating. Now, they have, here's one that it is a 41-pound pail. All right, here you go. 41 pounds, $109. So that's like...
That sounds like a lot.
No. Well, it's like 45 cents a pound. You know, so that's not a lot. And then they have, so yeah, you can get it in bulk. And they're there's another thing. We're Arizona. You go to the East Valley here, they'd be a Mormon supply place that has your 1,500 pound pallet. I mean, you know, they got plenty of food because when they do it for families, man, it's like a big thing. You know, that's something we should do. We go visit, you know, the kids or mom out in the East Valley. Let's go buy one of those places. Just for grins and giggles. You know, we gave away a bunch of our stuff that was really expired, some old number 10 cans and so on. And we sent them, you know, we had some guys and stuff throw them away. They needed some food, so we did it. Okay, this is where? Smart and Final.
Smart and Final.
So black beans, 25-pound bag, $20.99. So okay. These are black beans.
Black beans.
Pinto beans, 50-pound bag, $20.
Yeah, that's a lot more. I will have to say that's a lot more than what I remember.
Yeah, 50-pound bag, $20 for pinto beans.
I'll go
that's
by there
bad.
Today just to see. Yeah, I think that's a lot, but...
Well, this is restaurant supply. So these are like, you know, they're selling them for... we used to have a Smart and Final account that we did for the restaurant, and we'd get a bunch of stuff. But I wonder if we still... We're probably still
they,
on...
They don't have a Smart and Final account. You can go to Smart and Final, but we had Costco and...
Well, we used to go to Smart and Final a lot. But the Smart and Final is more restaurant supply. I mean, I think people, you can just go in there. You don't have to have a membership.
You don't have to have a membership.
But you go in. Well, it was a tax thing. It was a tax ID. You didn't pay sales tax on it or something. I mean, you're listed in there that you don't have to pay sales tax because you're reselling it, you know, in a restaurant. So that's how we got it, you know, even cheaper. But the 50-pound bag of beans for $20. Okay. Cool. Well, I think that's a good idea. You know, it's not like we don't have enough beans and stuff, but yeah. I think just to make me, for $20, I'll go get a 50-pound bag of beans just because $20 makes me feel better. Because at 20 pounds, that's like, what would that be? That'd be like, you know, months of one guy.
A month, probably.
Yeah, I got an extra month. And you got what, 3 days in your refrigerator maybe that you might be able to do, and you got to ration it? You know, for $20, you could have, hey, at least I got beans. So what did we do? We took, and if you get any kind of meat, like a ham or bacon or something like that, or beef or none, we do that. We've gone with different recipes. It was black-eyed peas, rice, and some kind of meat to give it that savory flavor or fat or put coconut oil in or something. And... it was yummy. And we do that when it starts to get cold. And we have this French onion soup thing that we do at the same time we did that. It was so good that we added it to our menu in the winter. Remember, it was the ham soup thing? It's yummy. So I'm looking forward to it. We should do that. When it starts getting cold, we do it for Halloween. You know, kids come over or something. People, you don't heed this. You're going to wish you did. Because I've seen this stuff shoot up double in price. That $20 will be $40. So it's $20. I mean, hopefully you got $20. You need to get a big bag of beans, big bag of rice. And what was one thing that I was worried about was to cook it. You had to use electricity, which, you know, gets more and more expensive. Or you use propane. Or you got to have wood or charcoal or whatever. And it was the Sun Oven. Now, the Sun Oven wasn't free. It was a few $100, but it was a gift. But from friends, I love that thing. It'll go up in the winter. It'll go, what, 350, 400 degrees in February?
Yeah, it's hard to get it to that. But, yeah, you can do it. We've done it before. And, you know what? To be honest with you, I would also stock up, if you can, on little canisters of propane for your little Coleman things or big propane tanks. You know, it may cost $20, to fill it up or 25 to fill them up. But you can cook on those.
Yeah, too. But it's not a long-term solution.
No, it's not long-term.
I mean, we have like, you know, because we got, you know, these yard heaters and the grill and camping. You know, we probably got 3 or 4
I know,
of those.
But you know what you can
things.
Do is you can get the adapters to for those 5-gallon propane tank things to go on your little Coleman thing, and that'll cook a long time. You don't have to use the little ones. That's just sort of an emergency thing. But you can get the adapters. And with that, say you got 5-gallon propane tanks, you can cook a long time on that.
I know, but not everybody has. Plus, you're kind of hauling around.
Well,
the point that I'm making is this Sun oven takes no fuel. It takes a small amount of space. It folds out. It does the job, and it's free.
Yes, assuming you have completely blue free. Sky, because even in Arizona where we have sun all the time, I will have to say if I see one little cloud in the distance now, in a half an hour, the whole sky is covered. And it doesn't work when it's covered. It'll be 200 degrees, which doesn't cook anything.
But it's free.
It is free. I'm not saying it's bad, but free. I'm just saying that I've noticed that over the years. It's
we try to use it, and sometimes in a little cloudy or hazy or hell, just chemtrail-y.
The chemtrail
you know?
Thing.
And it doesn't work as good when they do all whatever the hell it is that they're doing. So you can that has an effect, too.
I sat and watched the sky one time. There was a poof, and the whole thing was blue except this one little poof. And literally within probably 20, 30, 40 minutes, half of the sky had clouds.
You know, yesterday we were driving from the East Valley back. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah, I told my grandkids.
Clear.
Look at these clouds. These are like real clouds. They're poofy and white.
Oh, and as we were taking them, I go, look at that. You see that plane with that little, you know, white thing behind it? That's what contrails are. This is what we remember as a kid. There's other stuff that ain't it. It wasn't. And they always say it's when it's really humid or something, it doesn't. And it was 60% humidity here in Phoenix, you know, monsoon time of the rain, and it wasn't. I don't believe a damn thing
anything.
Any of these guys say. So you know what I believe in? Food.
Rice and beans.
Food.
Chicken eggs.
Food. Chicken, beans, food. Food. Because that was one thing when we first got chickens was about 10 years ago. And it was, you know, that was a big deal. Nobody had chickens. I mean, certainly not in the urban areas. And we were just pimping that and pushing. Now, having chickens is not uncommon. It is a big thing. They even tried to pass a law saying that local governments couldn't restrict you from having half a dozen chickens in the state of whatever. I'm going, oh, yay. We're free now. I don't need government to even, whatever. So my thing is, think about it. If you're worried, just go spend $50 and you could get enough food for $50 to last a family of 4. Now you stretch it out and buy it right, $50 would probably cover you. You can go, a couple of months at least?
Yeah, if you really stretched it out, you could.
Yeah. You know, rice and beans and a way to heat it. You got to have the way to heat it. So, you know, solar thing, that's what's going to nail you. Or you can do YouTube and make something, and which would be kind of a fun project and one of the things we may do. So I encourage you, because I did this same kind of thing over a period of time, you know, weeks, you know, back in 7, 8, I'm going, look, here it comes, and then it hit. And then what'd I say? Probably nothing. I don't know. I told you so. I mean, you know, I'm telling you so now. Before it happens, and I just took a look at some of the things that I tracked. The 30-year treasury interest rate, you know, the stock market, you know, some pricing stuff, you know, the blockchain getting taken over by those that was supposed to replace. I mean, all this stuff, I'm telling you, get food. I got these little water purifying tablets, you got water purifying pumps, a little, you know, straw thing that, you know, you can drink mud water or whatever. We got the Berkey filter, you know, thing. We got, you know, all this stuff over the years that we kind of accumulate. We're probably going to survive. We're going to be okay. And enough protection, you know, that we might be able to defend it. And neighbors that we probably got. Not everybody's in that situation. And I don't feel that comfortable anyway. It's going to be people know, hello, you out there? You know, I got like some beans. You know, and beans are going to be valuable. Hey, Ernie, man, I hear you got beans. Get your own damn beans. All right. Anything else you want to say, Donna?
No.
Was I upset this morning?
upset? No, you were concerned.
Yeah, I got up. I'm like, whoa, man, I gotta check your six. And what do? I look, and sure enough, there it is. I'm like, wow. All right. Pace.